Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from the Lord will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left. Mary has an experience with the angel Gabriel. She's visited by an angel. She doesn't think of an angel. She doesn't hear a voice from behind her. She doesn't dream of an angel. This is not a fuzzy experience with an angel. This is not a, did I have some bad pizza last night? Do I have a stomach ache sort of an idea? She has a visitation from there's a someone standing in my room talking to me sort of visitation. This is a powerful visitation that she has. These weren't words that she heard in her head. They weren't words that they thought. They were words coming out of the mouth of an angelic being standing right before her. Looking back, we put a lot of beauty and magnificence into the angel showing up. In the story, we have no beauty or magnificence of the angel showing up. It's just the angel shows up, the angel is there. Mary, in fact, shows little to no excitement or emotion except for one, and that is fear. It says Mary is afraid. Later on, when she goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, then she becomes excited. Then she celebrates. Then she breaks out into song. But right now in this visitation, there's no excitement. There's no celebration. There's fear. And then we just read there's a complete whatever you want of me, I will have. What we see is that an experience with God can bring a lot of fear in us. And so we want to talk about that fear, and I want to make it clear that God is safe, God can be trusted, but God wants to wreck the way you think. God wants to change the way you think. He wants to bother you, irritate you, annoy you, agitate you, so that you will think and feel and respond and act like he would on the earth. Okay? I want that clear. He's a good God. He's a kind God. He's a safe God. But because he's good and kind and safe, he wants to break some things in us. And fear is something that can be used for the glory and the good of God. And we know from the Easter story that experiencing God, first comes death, then comes life. First comes fear, then comes belief. Fear is the most common emotion running throughout the story of baby Jesus, and we'll look more at that as time comes. But I want to look at the story of Mary, why Mary was afraid, and what it means to us today. And my first point is about you, and that you are afraid. And if you think you're not afraid, then you've just covered up your fear. The story of man, the story of humanity is fear, is one of hiding, is one of managing. Through our success, through our addiction, through our pain, through our distractions, it could be through our marriage problems, it could be through our health problems, it could be through our financial problems. We like to hide in those things. It could be in your phone that you have right now in front of you. It could be, you could be distracted right now, hiding from what the Lord wants to tell you this morning, because you're afraid that if he tells you something, that means then you have to go act upon that something. So you're afraid. Mary was afraid. And this fear isn't the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge sort of fear. It's not that good kind of fear. This fear that they talk about, this is the I'm afraid of snakes sort of fear, okay? This isn't the really holy good, well, I'm fear of the Lord. This is like, I'm afraid. There's snakes on the plane. Sorry about that reference. I probably shouldn't have said it. I knew it when I was going there. So this word fear is to be afraid, to be alarmed, to be agitated, to be bothered by, to be disturbed by the word of the angel. It was an irritant to her. It bothered her. But think about, look at that scripture again as I'm talking. What is she irritated about? What is she agitated about? She's not agitated that the angel's standing in the room. She's not afraid of the angel. She's not afraid of the tone of the voice of the angel. She's not afraid of the angel because he has a sword or he's lit all up. like we would want to see in a really good movie of this story. She's not even afraid of being impregnated by the Holy Spirit and having Jesus. Look what she's afraid of. It says, Mary was afraid. Your Bible might say greatly troubled or something different, but it's the word fear in there. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. The angel hasn't even said yet that you're going to have baby Jesus. I want you to see that. I want you to get that clear before we go on. Because most of us have in our minds the story that she's afraid of the angel. But we don't see that here in the book of Luke. We see her being bothered with these words, you are highly favored and the Lord is with you. You're highly favored and the Lord is with you. And I've asked some people, would you be bothered by those words? They're like, no, I would love it. But it's not true. We are afraid, like Mary, like Joseph, of being identified by God. In fact, we like to choose churchgoer as our identifier instead of child of God as our identifier. We like to choose servant or slave other than daughter or son. We are deeply disturbed and afraid of God's identity in our life. So we choose a charismatic identity over just following Jesus' identity. We choose a Bible church mentality, a denomination, a set of doctrine, a set of belief, instead of allowing God to describe us, to give us identity. And we're afraid of that intimately. So in verse 28 in chapter 1, it says, you are highly favored. Your Bible might say, greetings, O favored one. There's a different ways that it's said, but basically this greeting is, you, Mary, have given pleasure to God. You, Mary, have given pleasure to God. He takes great joy in you, Mary. He is delighted in you. It's his grace, his favor, his peace upon you. There's a phrase in here that it shows the free, spontaneous, absolute loving kindness of God towards Mary. And this is the sticking point. The rest of the story in the Bible aims towards that same description of you, that you are highly favored, that you are loved, that you bring your Father great joy, that he has done things at the cross, and he's done things at the birth, and he's done things for you now, that he wants to lead you in to the reality that his love for you is free. It's great. It's your love that when you see little Andrew or you see Jonathan, you have this love for a child, don't you? It's just spontaneous. You want to be good to them. You don't want them to get hurt. Even if it's not your baby and you see a child standing up in a shopping cart, you go and you say, sit down. You go and you help the mom. You feel for those things. That's God's love for us always. It's a spontaneous, good, loving, absolute kindness towards you. God is describing you. And our fight is often against his description of us because we demand to choose our own description. Mary is afraid of embracing her identity. She's afraid of embracing her identity. She doesn't even know the Jesus part yet. You can read it in your scripture later, but we just read it. She doesn't even know it's the mother. She just knows there's an angel saying that I have a new identity, one that is confusing to me, is confounding to me, and then she learns that it's going to wreck my life. It might even wreck my engagement to Joseph, the man I love, and it might wreck my reputation. My entire journey just shifted if I so choose to accept the identity of God, of his favor upon me. Just in the salutation of the angel Gabriel. I think that's one reason why we distract ourselves so much. We don't want to hear what God has to say. I think that's why we don't ask him, what do you think of me? We ask him, what do you want me to do? We don't say, where do you want me to give my life? We say, where do you want me to give some finances? There's something that goes on in us that is our identity is such a problem. And there's a confrontation that's going on in Mary right now. That's why fear comes up. Well, it's interesting in this larger picture of this Christmas story. I want you to see this picture. We have Mary being talked to by an angel, and then later we have Joseph has a dream with an angel. We have the shepherds, and they see a heavenly host. We have the wise men that get a sign, and they come and they tell Herod. So Herod gets told that Jesus is there. There's all conflict in all of them, and the conflict is always fear somewhere there. But there's a bigger conflict going on. There's a bigger conflict going on in God's chosen people, Judaism, and the chosen religion of the land. The conflict's coming in. If this is the Messiah, then our religion is wrecked. Our religion is done for. But also, King Herod is a Jewish king. If Jesus really is who he has said, then his position, he thinks, is going to be gone. But there's also a bigger picture outside of that. You have the kingdom of Israel that is being ruled over by the kingdom of Rome, or the empire of Rome. So you have all this good and evil, all this conflict, and Jesus comes and he's saying to us, if you'll change your identity, if you'll accept me, I'll change your identity, and I will change everything about you in the context of your religion, in the context of your race, in the context of all your political beliefs, in the context of your poverty, your sickness, your disease. Everything will change if you'll accept my new identity. But you know what? We're so familiar with the sights and sound of Christmas that we always seem to forget the real story of Christmas. We think it's about shouting out Merry Christmas to the company that has said that they have to say Happy Holidays. You know, and we fight wrong fights. We do, and then we're going to opt out of Christmas, or we're going to buy into Christmas, but we seem to forget that there's no animals mentioned at all in the manger scene. We seem to forget over the every couple decades they have a new insight of to actually what the scene probably looked like because of what anthropology and archaeology is bringing out. But there's something going on here that's a confrontation, a massive confrontation that shifts all of humanity, that is meant to shift us. It's a confrontation that doesn't just happen when you cross over into God's loving arms and become a Christian. It doesn't just happen when you get saved. It happens every moment of our life and every time we get a chance. So Mary is afraid. Like Mary, we're afraid of giving ourselves to God. And I thought about, where do we hide? We hide in our description of ourselves. I'm just shy. I'm just outgoing. I'm just the strong one. I'm just the weak one. I'm passionate. I'm the creative guy. I'm the smart guy in the room. I'm the rich guy in the room. I'm the wounded victim in every story. I'm depressed. I'm sick. I'm hurt. I'm diseased. I have leprosy. I can't walk. I'm of the wrong religion. I was born at the wrong time. I'm just the nice guy. I'm just the truthful guy. I'm just the blank, blank, blank. And we hide in those descriptions. And those descriptions on one end are, I am strong, and I'll hide in my strength, and I am weak, and I'll hide in my weakness. We label ourselves so we avoid the confrontation of God describing us, letting God tell us what we are, where we're going, who he thinks, how he thinks of us, who he thinks we are. Even though we hear it throughout Scripture, even though I hope you hear it all the time through the journey, what we write, what we do, our classes, even though we're focused on hearing God, believing God, receiving his goodness and acting upon that, even though we know that, we all still struggle with being afraid of being identified as God's child, as God's favored, as God, there's favor and grace and peace, that he looks upon me with joy. Because instead we describe how we sinned yesterday. We describe where we're wounded yesterday. We describe what's bad in our life. Why was Mary afraid of God's description of her? It's the same reason why that we're afraid of God's description of us. He says, you're highly favored, and we just talked about what favored meant. If what the angel is saying to Mary, if that's true, then Mary's life just got completely different. If that's true, and I think Mary had to receive that it was true, or that she would not be the Mary we talk about today. Because there's always choice involved of how we accept. If Joseph believes what Mary tells him, and remember, we'll talk about this next week, but Joseph doesn't believe. Joseph is the first doubter in Jesus. The adopted dad of Jesus is the first one to doubt. Can you imagine the conversation Mary and Joseph probably had about, hey, I'm pregnant, and it's not, hey, I cheated on you 3 years ago. It's like the Holy Spirit. How many of you would accept that story if your daughter came in and said, hey, the Holy Spirit impregnated me in 9 months, Mom and Dad? What if your wife came to you, or your fiance came to you? This is a harsh story. But if Joseph believes it, which he doesn't at first, And then he chooses to believe it. Then he's saying, everything changes in my life. Everything's different. If what Jesus teaches us in Scripture, and this is why I think we struggle with Scripture, with reading it, with finding it, with following it, with just having it around us a lot, even with discussing it, because if we believe what he says, then that means I have to think differently. My judgment has to go down. My hatred has to go down. My division of people into categories in race and class and ideology has to go down. He's constantly poking. He's constantly shaping. He's constantly bothering me. I don't know if he's constantly bothering you, but God is constantly bothering me. When I read Scripture, constant irritation against my flesh. Because I want to be who I want to be, who I think I already am. If you choose to believe what Jesus says about you is true, then you begin to lose control over who you are. And you say, as a Christian, I don't want control. I want him to have control. I want him to choose for me. I don't want to have to sit here and choose between good and evil all day. I just want to make one really good daily choice to choose life, to choose the Savior, to choose that tree, that fruit that gives me eternal life. So the first point is you're afraid. You're afraid of what you're going to have to give up. And you know, this battle of good and evil that wages on, is we read it all the time between the Pharisees and Jesus. There's a battle going on of good and evil, of choices. If what Jesus is saying is true, it sounds true, but if what he's saying is true, then all my religion has to go out the door. If what Jesus is saying is true, then I have to accept the Gentile. If what Jesus is saying is true, then I've got some things wrong here, and I have to switch that out. So we're all afraid, like Mary, like Joseph, like the players in the story, the Christmas story, we're afraid. Which leads us to point two, which it's okay to be afraid. I'm here to tell you it's okay to be afraid. I know you've probably been taught a lot it's not okay to be afraid. But the beautiful truth about the Christmas story is that fear no longer has power over us. Death no longer has power over me. Anything that's exposed in me by the Lord is something the Lord can take care of, and is actually exposing it so that he can take care of it. So fear exposes a place where God is not ruling in your life. Fear exposes a place where God is not ruling in your life. You're afraid of your marriage next year? You're afraid of what your kids are going to do next year? God's not ruling in that area of your life. That doesn't mean your kids are going to be great. Doesn't mean your marriage is going to be great. But where there is fear, God's not ruling in your life. It's true in every area. If you're afraid of your finances, you're afraid of your job, you're afraid of your future, you're still afraid of talking about your past, it means that God's not ruling that area in your life. Joseph was afraid of marrying Mary. He marries her. You know, after studying some of this, and I was surprised where my message actually went as I studied last week and then into Monday. I was like, what? There's fear in the Christmas story? What God? What do you do with that? So this is what you do with it. But I was reading it, and I was like, you know what? I think fear is actually a necessary component of real faith. I think fear is a necessary component of real faith. If you want to believe this Christmas, you're going to have some fear exposed in you to believe again, to believe more deeply, to believe more fully in the power of the Christmas story, the power of the cross, and the power of a resurrected Savior in your life. Fear is necessary. When fear is exposed, it's felt, it rises up within us, then it gives us opportunity to go, oh, I'm depending on my paycheck. That's why I'm afraid. I'm not depending on God. I'm depending on creature to make me happy instead of God to give me joy. Oh, thank you, fear. God will use that. You know what? Most of us do what Adam and Eve did. We pull an Adam and Eve. We run and get some fig leaves, and we run into forest. We hide from man with the fig leaves. We hide from one another. We hide in the forest to hide from God. We withdraw from our hopes, from our dreams, from what we want to do. We withdraw from our identity. We stay steady in religion, or we stay steady in rebellion. Both bad choices, both leading to bad places. Rebellion isn't any better or worse than religion. They're both opposite choices of choosing life. But I'm going to tell you what, when you hide, the enemy loves it. The enemy loves when you hide fear. He loves when you hide what you're going through. He loves when you hide pain. And I'm not saying, you know, tell everybody all the time how bad you are. I'm not saying tell everybody how bad everything is. There's certain points, but there's paths you take to expose yourself properly and be vulnerable in front of certain groups of people over time that will bring God's healing to you, people who will lead you to Jesus. The enemy hates it when fear is exposed. The enemy hates it. You know, the worst thing, well, as a parent, you know, you find out, you know, like a week or two later that your second or third grader had something really bad happen at school and they never told you about it. And they've been dealing with that fear all that time. Isn't that an awful feeling? Because even a friend, you're like, what? That happened? You didn't tell me that. I could have helped you. I would have been there. But the enemy loves it when we hide, when we don't tell. I think God loves it when you see a snake and you scream like a little girl. I think God loves it when you say, God, I am lonely and I'm afraid of being lonely all of next year. God, I hate my job and I'm afraid I'm going to hate my job for the rest of my life. I think God likes it when you say that, not to everybody, not over and over again, but when you say it to Him and you give it to Him and you expose that fear. God loves it when fear is exposed in us. God loves it. There's nothing to be ashamed of with fear. I wrote down here that fear not. There's hundreds of fear nots. Do not be afraid. God is with you in Scripture in Old and New Testament. And we've always taken that as a command. We've always taken that as a demand. Don't be afraid, you big sissy. Be a man. Right? Have faith. And then we give somebody a word of encouragement. Instead, I think fear not, and we see it here in these stories, fear not is an invitation towards belief. Fear not is an invitation towards faith. Fear not is an invitation to know God better. So first, you're afraid. Second, it's okay to be afraid that something happens. And this third one I just stated is fear leads us into belief. You might not choose experiencing fear. You might not choose that fear welling up in you about your future, about expressing something you have in you to somebody to get help. You might not be able to choose that, but as soon as that fear is expressed, you get to choose if you honor and worship and follow that fear and you control your life, or the right choice, the better choice, the best choice is to choose to believe. Ah, God said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He said He'll never leave me, forsake me. So what do I do now with this? And I find that belief. And we see that Jesus says, your work that you do is the work to believe in the one who sent me. We believe our hard work is belief. Our hard work is belief. And fear helps us with that hard work. Fear helps us with that hard work. I think what we have, though, in the Christmas story, I mean, none of you are going to have like a really crummy Charlie Brown ugly Christmas tree, are you? You're not going to like you put up black Christmas trees and, you know, just all bad stuff and maybe some sheep droppings in your front porch because we want to make it the reality of how Jesus' birth was and, you know, that you're going to sleep outside for the next 12 days of Christmas and really experience how Jesus was, and we're going to make it ugly. And so we love the beauty of Christmas, right? We were up at the Woodlands for a birthday party last night, and we love the sight and the smell and the sounds, and there's lights and it smells good, and there's the drinks are holiday drinks, and there's, you know, there's peppermint this and candy cane that, and it smells good. There's a choir singing Christmas songs, and I'm not saying do away with that, but the reality of that outside celebration, that outside beauty is an inward reality that should be happening. That outward beauty, that outward bling, that outward scent, that outward presence is meant to be here first. And then the Christmas tree and the gifts and the giving to the poor and the giving to the needy and the being a little bit different way and in a bigger way at Christmas, it's meant to come out of something that's peaceful and beautiful in us. So fear leads us to believe, but if you choose you can't believe, if you choose you have to be afraid, then you will be afraid. If you think I can't choose, I'm just afraid, that's my identifier, I'm just afraid, then you just chose the wrong choice. You just made the wrong choice. The devastating choice that no matter how much scripture you hear, no matter how much counsel you'll get, you'll still be, this is my identifier. But for us, people of the journey, we believe I get to choose. Fear comes, I get to choose. Sin comes, I get to choose. Do I confess it? Depression comes, I get to choose. Do I talk to somebody about it? I get to choose these things. So the birth of Jesus is announced to Mary, Joseph, and King Herod. All three respond in fear. Right at this point of fear, they need to choose. Mary and Joseph choose life. Mary and Joseph choose to believe God. Herod believes. Herod believes. And in his fear, instead of choosing God, he chooses, I will make my own way and go kill all the kids under 2 years old. And so that's us. That's us. We go, if we choose fear and we choose to walk in that, even though we've chosen belief, but we've chosen wrong belief, we only believe that he's son, we only believe that he's going to be born, we haven't believed that he's going to be our Lord and Savior, we begin to take that path, which we'll talk about later. So look what Mary says here at the end. I just read it. Stevie read it. I am the Lord's servant in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. I've read that, and you've read that so many times, but I want you to see what she says here and highlight, your word to me be fulfilled. She doesn't say, may your word to the world be fulfilled. She says, may your word to me be fulfilled. This is a personal thing we have here. Even with Mary, the mother of God, the birth mom of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, she chooses to believe that it's for me. Let it be done to me as you will. And Christmas begs the question, will you believe? Will you believe? Will you say to God, may your word to me be fulfilled through me? May your word to me be fulfilled through me. Not through somebody else, not through the church, not through an organization, not through another preacher, but through me. Will your identity through me be fulfilled here on earth? There's nothing awful about fear if you respond in faith. Like Mary and Joseph, you can choose to use your fear and let it propel you and move you into belief. But you have to accept the invitation to believe. We know that for salvation. We know that for that crossover. You have to accept Jesus' invitation as he stands at the door and knock. But we forget that in every area of our life where there's pain and misery and lack of hope, that we have to accept, we have to choose. We choose, and the choice is him. The choice isn't like, I'm afraid, here's a dozen things I can do. The choice is, I'm afraid, there's one choice I make. I go into his presence and let him identify me. I let him tell me where I'm going, what I'm doing. I let him bring me peace and joy and love. So point number one is you're afraid, like every one of us in here is afraid. And though some of us are harder, are tougher, and have more layers, so we feel less afraid, but we're afraid. And so find that fear, give it to God. It's okay to be afraid. God uses fear as an invitation into belief, and you can choose belief. So as you're celebrating Christmas, I want you to choose belief.